Okay, so the reading is from Isaiah 55, and it's going to be from 1 to 7. Okay, so only the first part. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promise to David. See, I have made him a witness to the people, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you will not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous their faults. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them. And to our God, he will freely pardon.
Well, thanks, Steve, for your introduction. Thank you for coming. I know I'm escaping on a lunch hour just for half an hour. It's not easy. So thank you very much for coming. I don't know about you, but invites are great things, aren't they? A good invitation, you can't beat it, can you? I was invited to a Queen's garden party last year. I got ill and couldn't go back. An invitation is a wonderful thing. And I was very proud I kind of brought it into every sermon I possibly could for about 6 months. Because invitations are a great thing. And what I want to do over the next 4 weeks is really speak to you about the greatest invitation that you will ever get. And the greatest invitation that I will ever get. It's there in verses 1 to 3. Can you look at the sheet? Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen to me. Eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. Jesus, when he talked about what it was like to be a Christian, what it meant to follow Jesus, he said it was actually like coming to a banquet. It was like coming to a feast of good things. And Jesus says to his followers, he says, go out into the highways and byways, go into the streets, and invite people in to the greatest party, to the greatest banquet that you'll ever go to. I want to notice three things, all right? The first thing I want you to see, look at verse 1, is a very generous invitation. It's a very generous invitation. Verse 1, 4 times. Did you notice? God says, come. Come. Come, verse 1, come all you who are thirsty. Come buy wine and milk. Come to the waters. Come buy and eat. Who's he talking to? Well, he's talking to you. He's talking to every one of us. He's talking to the people of his day. He's talking to the people of today. Notice in verse 1, it's both singular and it's plural. It is speaking to you. And it's speaking to all of you. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. He's calling every one of you and every one of us. And God is demanding a response from every one of us. It's interesting. I don't know if you've got the old King James Version. Some of you have got that. It starts with a shout. It starts with a shout. An American translation tries to capture it like this. It says, say there. Say there. I don't know if there's any Americans, but it's a great way of starting it, isn't it? Say there. The old King James said, ho, 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 or hey. That's what it starts with. You've maybe been to Morocco, you've been to one of those North African markets, and you're walking past the stalls, and suddenly people start to shout at you, don't they? Hey, hey, you there, hey. And I'm calling out for your attention. That is what God is doing today. Isaiah 55, he starts with a shout. He says, hey, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. It's God's shout. It's God's shout to us. But that phrase has got another meaning, hasn't it? So tonight after work, you go to the bar with your colleagues, and you order your drink, and your friend says, don't get your wallet out, don't get your wallet out, it's my shout. And they say, I'll shout you that drink. And it means, doesn't it, when somebody says that to you, that they will pay for it. You're not paying. They are. And this is God's shout. Not only is God shouting to us, he's shouting us. Hey, you look, you who've got no money, verse 1. You who don't have money, come, I'll shout you. Come without money and without price. And he's shouting you a feast of wine and milk and of the richest of food. That is what is on the menu. Now, who is he talking to? Who is he shouting this feast for? And I think it's really interesting here. Look at verses 1 and 2. You've got two different types of people. So verse 1, you've got the thirsty and the broke. And in verse 2, you've got the self-sufficient. Let me say that in a number of ways so we can try and screw the truth into your head. The thirsty and the broke and the self-sufficient. Those who can't pay in verse 1, and those who can, or at least think they can in verse 1, because they're still spending, aren't they? In verse 1, you've got the spent. It's like if you've run out of resources, if you've got no money, and then in verse 2, you've got the spenders. In verse 1, you've got those who've come to the end of their resources. They're flat broke. But in verse 2, you've got those who've not come to the end of their resources. They're doing all right. Do you see two types of different people? The spent and the spenders. Those who know their need and those who don't. And if they do know their need, they think that they're able to meet it, verse 2, from their own resources. Really, verse 1, you've got the have-nots, and in verse 2, you've got the haves. Now, let's take a look at the have-nots, first of all. Those who've got no money. Look at verse 1. They have no money, and they have no strength. What do you say to a group of people like that? What do you say to a group of people who've got no money and no strength? They've run out of their resources. They're at the end of their tether. What is the real need of human beings? What is the real need? The real need we have, and the real need you have, is for something money can't buy, isn't it? Augustine put it in a very famous prayer, maybe you've heard it. O Lord, you've made us for yourself, and we are restless until we find our rest in thee. Human beings have a thirst which cannot be met by anyone except the one who made you. We need water to quench our thirst. We need milk to strengthen us and build us up. We need wine to gladden our hearts. And all of that, Isaiah is saying to you, comes out of a relationship with the God who made you. Look at it again. You're being invited to the waters, divine wine and milk. But see how he puts it. Look at verse 3. Incline your ear, give ear, and come to me. God says, all this is in me. The water that refreshes, the milk that strengthens and nourishes, the wine that makes you glad and happy. Come to me, God says, it's all found in me. God says, are you thirsty? Are you empty? Are you running on empty? Are you dissatisfied? Are you thinking to yourself, like so many people are, there's got to be more to life than this, isn't there? Well, God says, come to me. God says, come to me. The very word God means good. God is good. The Bible tells us he is the source of everything that is good. And yet we don't come to him, do we? We look everywhere else. And we're surprised, aren't we, that we're not satisfied. Let me just pause for a minute and try and press the invitation home that it's for you. It's for you. Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you're here as an interested observer. Maybe you've just come down here to eat your lunch and you've found yourself in the wrong place. Maybe you've been brought here by a friend. Or maybe you've been a Christian for years. And it's for you too, because so easily we lose sight of it, isn't it? I don't know whether you noticed how much of a curious invitation it is. Just look at it again. God is saying, come you all thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. What's unusual about the second part of that. Jesus said, you who have no money, come buy and eat. Isn't that odd? Isn't that really odd? Come buy and eat without money and without price. How can you buy something without money? You've got no money, you've got no resources, you've got nothing to contribute. And that is what God is saying. When you come to God, you've got no money. You might have A stars in your A-levels, you might have a first-class degree, you might be the star of your office, but you've got nothing that you can come to God with. You've got no resources, you've got nothing to exchange. You've got nothing to bring. And do you know what God says to you today? He says, you're just the type of person I'm looking for. You're just the type of person I'm looking for. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those who've got nothing, they've got nothing to contribute. It's a really curious thing. So imagine that you're in an office in a high-rise building. You probably are, aren't you? You're in the city somewhere. You've moved to a new office. And you'd walk in, and the windows have never been cleaned. You're on the 15th floor. So you move into the office. It's 15 floors up. And you say, the first thing I need to do is get some light in here. So you ring a window cleaners company. And he sends someone round. The guy turns up and he says, I'm a window cleaner. Yeah, what do you want me to do? And you say, well, I want you to clean the windows on the 15th floor. He says, yeah, that's really fine. The only problem is I suffer from vertigo. I'm afraid of heights. And I've got angina. And you say, you're just the guy we're looking for. It's mad, isn't it? That's a conundrum. So God says, come and buy. So I've got no money. And God says, you're just the kind of person I'm looking for. It's odd, isn't it? It's a curious invitation. And I think it is deliberately put like that. It's written like that so it excites our interest. Do you remember what God is like? He's like the stallholder. There are so many other things, aren't there, that can distract you. And we're so busy. And God is saying, hey there, hey you, in Moorgate. He's shouting at you to draw you in, to excite your curiosity. He says, you're exactly the kind of person I want at my stall. Those that can't pay for anything. And that is what Christianity is about. It's why grace is right at the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That brings me to my second point. Notice in verse 2, can you look there? There's a question. There is a question. Because God isn't only inviting, he's not only a welcoming God, but he's a questioning God. And God is a reasoning God. And he's reasoning with these people. So in verse 1, he pleads with you. He says, you are thirsty and you're broke. You've got no resources. You've got no bargaining position, no track record. Those whose hopes have dried up. Your dreams have died. You're spiritually bankrupt. And he pleads with them. But then he says in verse 2, he turns to the self-sufficient person. Look at verse 2. Look at what he says. He reasons with them. Why do you spend money, those of you who've got money, on what is not bread? Why do you eat junk food? Why do you eat junk food, he says. It's not that there's a lack of bread, it's a negative of that. No bread. Why do you spend your money on no bread? That which doesn't nourish. That which doesn't bring satisfaction. Why do you labour on what does not satisfy? Now, I've been in church for 10 years, actually. And I go and speak in different places like this. And very often, at the end of a talk, we will ask for questions. And questions are put in a box. You might have, let me tell you this. There are the same 8 questions everybody's been asking for 8 years. You know, all the questions, I can predict them, isn't it? Why does God love suffering? It's a good question. Do all religions, is that the problem? Why is God anti-gay? All those sorts of things. They're the same question. And it's the same question, about half a dozen of them. But I want to say to you this. The questions that you ask of God are not the big deal. The big deal is this, the questions God asks of you. And you might not like that. But that is the thing. Whenever you ask God a question, God asks you one. So God asks you the question. He says in verse 2, can you just look down with me? He says, listen. Listen, if you've fallen asleep, wake up. Bend your ear to what I'm saying. Why are you spending money on what does not satisfy? Why are you beavering away at life? Working, slogging your guts out, burning yourself out for that which does not satisfy? God says to you, listen to me. That is your creator reasoning with you, isn't it? Why? Do you see the difference between these verses? Verse 2, the guy isn't thirsty. The first one, he is. But in verse 2, he's got money and he's spending it. And he's not burnt out. He's not at the end of his tether. He's got strength. He's vigorous. He's enjoying life. He goes to the gym. He works all the hours that he can. He goes away for weekends on the continent. He's engaged in life. He's labouring away. He's still working, still dreaming, still chasing, still searching, still experimenting. Different jobs, different cities, different life partners. A new car, a new career. It's a different sort of person. And yet it's empty. And when the person is willing enough to admit it, they'll say it's meaningless. You might not believe this, but let me tell you a story about Marlene Dietrich. She was a screen goddess in her time. Have you heard of Marlene Dietrich? No, but I'll tell you the story anyway. And apparently, Marlene Dietrich made ovations of her cabaret performances. So she made recordings of people clapping, giving her ovations. And two sides of a record, you probably don't know what a record is either, but two sides of a record of just ovations to her cabaret performances, of the applause that she had when she'd done her performances. And according to her biographer, she frequently gathered friends together to listen and insisted on playing both sides. Apparently she subjected Judy Garland to this and Noel Coward. And as they sat there listening, she would say, "That was Rio, that was Cologne, that was Chicago, just people clapping." And God says, "Why? Why, Marlene? Why?" God says, "Marlene, you have been made in my image and my likeness. You've been made by me for eternity, to know me for friendship and fellowship with the God of heaven. And that is what it's come down to, sitting in a room, listening to the empty applause of people. Why do you spend money? Why do you labour on that which is nothing?" God says. Now that is an extreme example, isn't it? I would be very surprised if you go home tonight, stick on a recording and people applauding you or something. But that is so true of what human beings are like, isn't it? Bernard Levin was not a Christian, but a journalist. And he said, countries like ours are full of people who have all the materialistic comforts they desire, together with such non-material blessings as a happy family, and yet they lead quiet lives, and at times lives of noisy desperation, understanding nothing but the fact there is a hole inside of them. However much food and drink they pour into it, however many motor cars and television sets they stuff with it, however many well-balanced children and friends they parade around the edges, it aches, it aches, it aches. Lord Byron, the poet, described his experience like this: "Drank every cup of joy, drank early, drank deeply, drank draughts with common millions might have drunk, then died of thirst because there was no more to drink." And God says, "Why?" Is that what it's come to? If you're not offended already, let me really offend you. Anything that you choose to do other than coming to the living God is futility. I mean, who is going to remember? Who is going to remember what you accomplished in 100 years' time? Who is going to remember that I got an invite to the Queen's Garden Party in 100 years' time? What is going to matter? If you don't know God, it's just another cul-de-sac. You've reached the pinnacle of your career. Wonderful. Who's going to remember that in 100 years? You've won a Nobel Peace Prize. Who will remember it? It's just another cul-de-sac, another dead end. Listen to me, God says. Listen. Listen, do you see it? Verse 3, that you may live. So that your soul may live. Don't live on junk food. John Star Hewitt, the advertising man, said this in 1922: "No one ever in his life has bought a mere piece of merchandise per se. What he buys is the satisfaction of a physical need or the satisfaction of some dream about his life." Well, you know that, don't you? You've bought things. You've been so excited about them and they're just a dust, aren't they? iPhone, whatever it is. Why labour for that which is not bread? So there's an invitation and it's a question, and God is pleading with you. God is saying, this lunchtime, please. Please come. That's the story, the invitation. Please come. It's as if Jesus Christ comes down on his hands and knees and he pleads with you. And you may think that is just an emotional Welsh preacher's license, but Philippians 2 tells us that God humbled himself. And he made himself of no reputation, and he took upon himself the form of a servant, and he became obedient to death, even the death of a cross. And now he comes to you as the Bible is explained, and he says, please, please come. Why will you waste your life? Why will you labour for that which is not bread? I shed my blood to bring you into a relationship with God. I shed my blood to give you water and wine and milk. Please come, please come. Will you come? Will you give yourself to Jesus who died for you? It's without money and it's free. For goodness sake, it's free. It's without money and it's without price. Why? Because the price has been paid, isn't it? The price has been paid by the Lord Jesus on the cross and his death. Come, let us enter into all that Jesus died to make our own. So very, very quickly, Jesus gives an invitation. He asks you a question. And then very briefly, because we'll come back to it next week, he gives a promise, verse 3. Look at verse 3. Why spend money on what is not bread? Oh, verse 3, give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. It's the promise of eternal life. And eternal life, don't misunderstand this. Eternal life, according to the Bible, according to John 17, is not the length of it. Because to be honest with you, I wouldn't want to live forever if it was like this life. It was boring, isn't it? You know chewing gum? Chewing gum is great, isn't it, for about 10 minutes. After about 20 minutes, it's bearable. But after 3 hours, chewing gum is absolutely unbearable, isn't it? And you're chomping away at it. Is eternal life going to be like that? If it is, I've got no interest in it. Now, Jesus says this. Eternal life is to know God. And what is God? He is the most exciting, attractive, fascinating being of all. It's not so much the quantity of it, although that is the case. It's the quality of it. It's to enter into a relationship with the God who made you. And that is what's being promised. God promises a relationship with himself. Unlike every pleasure, every good thing we enjoy here and now in this life. Let's face it, God has filled this earth, hasn't he, with loads of good things for you to enjoy, hasn't he? And we're not often very thankful. But unlike all these things he showered us on the world to enjoy now, which are only temporary and passing, in Christ, God offers himself for all eternity. He wants your soul to live. He wants you to live life with a capital L. Come to me, Jesus says, and you will have life with a capital L. And it's free. You know, you go out for a meal, let me finish this. You go out for a meal, isn't it? And I have worked out after all these years that when it says 2 meals for a fiver, you get what you pay for, don't you? You get what you pay for. And that is true of most things. You get what you pay for. But in the gospel, in this invitation, God has provided through the death of his son, you get what Christ paid for. So why haven't you come yet? What is stopping you? What is keeping you? God says, come to the waters, come all you who are thirsty, come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Let's pray. Lord, we want to pray for those of us who've accepted this invitation, that we would appreciate again how much we are on the receiving end of your generosity. You're an inviting God. You're a generous God. You're not a miser. And you want the best for us. And we pray for those of us who are Christians, those of us who have accepted this invitation. We pray that our lives might reflect something of that. And we pray for our friends, our relatives, maybe some here this afternoon, who've not yet come. And we pray that you would bring them, that you would draw them with the cords of your love, that you'd send them out of this restaurant today rejoicing, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.